I think as we have learning through the book of Philippians, I think if the Apostle Paul was alive today, that might be his theme song. Okay? I don't want to leave a legacy about myself, but it's only Jesus. I mean, he said, I count everything but loss. Everything but loss, except my Jesus. Jerry Schmidt, open us up, please, will you, buddy? Amen. Thank you. We'll be in the book of Philippians again as we are continuing our deep dive into this great, great book written by the Apostle Paul. So much truth, so much insight that I hope that you are, number one, enjoying it. And I hope, number two, we're learning from it. The title of the message today is The Prize of the Upward Calling. The Prize of the Upward Calling. And we'll look at that. Philippians 3, 12, 13, and 14 is where we're going to be. Last week we talked about the Apostle Paul and how he was trying to please God, and he was trying to do everything he could to be accepted by God, and he was keeping as best as he could all 620 something laws that he thought would make him right with God, acceptable to God. And the kicker on that, all that, was he thought he was doing God's will by doing things and good would get him into heaven. But we know on that Damascus Road that one day God got his attention and God changed his life. And now he was no longer living for himself. He was living for God. We talked about, he said, you know, I want to know the surpassing value of knowing Christ. He said, that's what I want. Everything else is lost. I just want to know about Christ. He said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be comfortable with his death on the cross. And then he says, why would I want to do that? So that I might obtain the resurrection from the dead. One of Paul's biggest goals was to be resurrected from the dead, because he understood what that was going to mean. So today we're going to look at what he talked about there. Let's begin in verse 12, if you would, please. And let's see what verse 12, 13, and 14 says. We're going to read over four verses, then we'll come back and pull stuff out. In verse 12, it says this, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by my Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the mark, or the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wanted to be perfect. Paul wanted to live a perfect life. But he understood that he couldn't be perfect. He understood that as he lived this life now, he was living it in the flesh. Human body. And he knew perfection would never reach him now. He knew he had to deal with temptations and sin. He tells us in Romans 8, he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. And Paul was torn in the flesh from sin. He knew he was never going to be perfect, but he strove for that. He knew at his point in life that he was not as spiritually mature as he needed to be. He knew that he did not have all the knowledge of Christ that he wanted to have. He knew that he is not the person that God wants him to be. And he knew all of that. And he used that as motivation for his life. And you know, I got to thinking about that. Do we as believers, do we have that same awareness? Do we have that same drive and motivation? Do we really, really care that I'm striving for perfection even though I will never get perfection here on this earth? Am I striving to be spiritually mature in the way I live my life? Am I working daily to acquire more knowledge of my Lord? Am I trying daily to be more like Christ in my life? And as I was thinking about myself, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if that's one of my goals in life, to do that all the time. I fall so short of that. And if I'm that way, I'm sure many of you are that way. That we get in a rut of life and we just go about our business. And we really are not really trying to pursue Christ in our life, pursue perfection, pursue spiritual maturity, to pursue more knowledge. And I'm thinking, it not ought to be that way. As born-again believers, we are to pursue Him. I think that's one of the differences between Paul and probably many of us, that he had this keen awareness that he wanted to be in his life all that God had called him to be. And I believe that is something that we as believers should have that as our goal, to daily strive to be more like Christ, to be the Christian man and woman that he's called us to be, to grow in spiritual maturity, to know him in a more, in an intimate way. 12, second part of 12. He's not perfect yet, but look what he says he's going to be doing. He says, but I press on so that I may lay hold of what that which is also I was laid up, laid a hold of by Christ Jesus. That word press on means to participate, to strive energetically for a purpose. It is a picture of an athlete, is what it is. Picture of an athlete. An athlete that is fixing to run a race, Paul would say. And he's going to run this race, and he's going to train for the race, and he's going to get ready for the race. And he's going to toe the starting line, and the gun's going to go off, and his primary focus is to get to the finish line as best as he can. Not letting anything get in his way, not letting anything stop him, slow him down, but that he is going to pursue that finish line with all his energy and all his strength that he can muster. Now, Paul really wasn't talking about an athletic finish line. He's talking about his Christian walk. His Christian walk, as he would focus his heart and his mind on the finish line of his life. He knew, Paul knew, that the Christian walk was not boring. He knew it wasn't apathetic or careless. Paul knew that the Christian life was alive and it was exciting. And it was something to grab a hold of, and it could be joyful and it could be abundant. And that's what he wanted. See, Paul wanted to win his race. He wanted to win in his race, in his walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says it this way. Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You see, as Christians, we're called to be victorious. We're called to be overcomers. We have the Savior of the world that lives within us and who's forgiven us and has adopted us into His family. We should be victorious. We should be overcomers. And we should be striving for that prize. That's what it said in that verse. To receive the prize. What is that prize? Well, I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. And that Paul kept his eyes on the price. That word press on means to not to give up. To keep going no matter what. No matter what life throws on you and through on Paul, he said, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to press on. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep persevering. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep walking in the faith no matter what life throws at me. I am going to stay strong in my faith. I'm going to keep trusting in the Lord no matter what. No matter what, my faith will not be broken. No matter what, my trust in Him will not be broken. No matter what comes my way. Can you in your Christian life say the same thing? That you're going to press on no matter what? Even though life has thrown you a bowl of cherries? Life has tried to cut you off at the knees? Paul says, I'm going to keep pressing forward. I mean, here's a guy that has been shipwrecked how many times? Three times, has been beaten five times, has been stoned to death, dangers everywhere he goes, and yet he says what? I'm pressing on. I'm pressing. I'm not giving up no matter what. My faith will be strong. My trust is going to be strong, and I'm going to keep going because Paul knew that whatever happened in his life, God knew about it, and that God had a great plan for Paul's life. And then he knew that the struggles that he was going through would mold Paul and to shape Paul into the person that God wants him to be. James 1, 2, and 4 says it this way. I think makes perfectly sense. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the result of your faith produces endurance or patience. And let endurance or patience have its perfect result. That word perfect means maturity, spiritual maturity. So that you may be mature, perfect, and complete in lacking nothing. See, Paul knew whatever going down on his life, God is going to use it for his good and for God's glory. And because of that, James can say, and Paul would have believed this, I consider it joy because I know my God has my back. He has my front. He has my side. He has my life because He has a great plan for my life. And because of that, Paul says, I will press on. I will never give up. I will never quit because I love my Lord and my Savior so much. Verse 13. He says this, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Yes, huh? The one thing I do, though, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. To stop dwelling on something, to pay no attention to. I like the definition to stop dwelling on it when you look at the word forget or forgetting. To stop dwelling on it. To stop paying attention to it. He says, forgetting what's gone on in the past. Back there. Whatever they're back there. Paul says, forget it. Paul says, forget it. And if anyone on this earth had a right to remember his past, it was Paul. If anyone had to deal with a past, it was Paul. I don't care how bad your past is before you got saved. I don't think it could be near as bad as Paul's. I mean, Paul was hunting Christians down to persecute them and make sure they were killed. Paul's goal in life was to destroy the church of Christ. That's what he wanted to do. Paul was applauding the fact that Deacon Stephen was being stoned to death. That's not a past. And if anybody had the right to feel guilty, if anybody had the right to be paralyzed because of their past and not praise the Lord and not just keep going and just let the past just overcome his mind, it would have been Apostle Paul. It had to be the Apostle Paul because of that past. And yet we know something happened to him on that Damascus road. God took his cold heart, made it a warm, loving heart. You know, we struggle with that sometimes, don't we? The past. We struggle with the past. We have an enemy that wants to keep dredging stuff up and bringing it up to our minds. You know, we can be paralyzed very easily about our past. Our past relationships that maybe just didn't work out. Maybe we've got some bad memories back in the back there that the enemy wants to keep dredging up. Maybe we've had failures and defeats, temptations and sin. And you've moved past those, but yet we have an enemy that keeps bringing it back up to your mind to bring you down and to defeat you. We tend to hold on, do we not, to bitterness and unforgiveness many times. We tend to hash up bad things that have happened into our life. We tend to open up old wounds that just keep coming into our minds. And we allow discouragement and despair and grief and bitterness and heartache to dominate our minds. And Paul says what? Forget the past. Forget the past and move forward to what lies ahead. Well, how do we do that? How can we do that? How can we get past the past when we have an enemy that keeps throwing it back up at us? I'm going to give you three steps. Three things I think you can do that I think will help you, help me, help all of us to forget the past and move forward to the future. The first thing I would like to tell you. Knowing your past, knowing your present, knowing your future sins have all been forgiven. Your past sin, your present sin, your future sin has all been forgiven. Whatever that bad memory is back there, that bad relationship back there, that temptation that you gave into back there, if you have confessed that and you have forsaken that, that is gone in God's book. That has disappeared in the sea of forgiveness from Holy God. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. That's not a suggestion. That's not a hope so, maybe. That is a promise from Holy God. And Holy God means exactly what he says. When you confess it and you forsake it, it is gone as far as the east is from the west. Why would you ever doubt that? 1 John 1:9 ties in right into that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have confessed that back there? You good. You don't have to. You see, God will never bring that back up to you. God will never throw that back up into your face. God said, God will never say, Don, you remember what you did back then? You remember how you failed me back then, Don? Don, that was terrible. What are you talking about? That is not from the Lord. That is from the enemy who's trying to defeat you, to bring you down, to stomp on your face and keep you down where you will not have victory in the Lord. That's from the enemy. And what do we do about that? You tell him. You tell him, I have been bought by the blood of Jesus. You have no say in my life, you loser. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Get out of my head. Get out of my mind. Get out of my body. You got no place in here. My body is filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. That is absolutely the first thing that you got to do. And understand that. No. It's more than that. You got to believe it and you got to trust it and have faith in it. That God said it, good enough for you. I mean, if you don't want to trust him and believe it and just stand on it, what good is it? Claim that promise. My sins are forgiven. I don't have to be defeated anymore. I think the second step that we need as we're trying to forget the past is to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. When Gene and I were running, we would run early in the morning. And we'd be running down the road, and there'd be cars coming back this way at us. And it was dark, and the headlights were up. And you could always tell when the car that was coming at us would see us, because they would the car would move just a little bit, and the lights would now go from here to over here to on us. You see, the car was following the lights, and when the car followed the lights and the car started moving this way, we started moving that way too. We started getting out of the way. And I tell you that to tell you this. Your body will follow where your eyes go. Your body will follow your eyes. And if your eyes are on this junk right here, this defeat right here, that's where your body is going to be. But if your eyes are focused on the one who can save you, who can bring you relief, that is where you need to be. You see, we can sit around, can we not, moaning, griping, and complaining. And that's never going to get you past your past. But when you go to the Lord and you put your eyes on Him and you begin to praise Him, good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. Put your eyes on Him. Well, I did that once and it didn't seem to work. Well, do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And do it every day. And keep doing it every day. Keep doing it every day. It's maybe not one and done. It might be 1,000 times. But when you keep doing it every day, eyes on Jesus, eyes on Jesus, I'm standing on His Word, standing on His Word, guess what? Things are going to happen in your life. You're going to be able to forget the past and move on to what lies in front of you. Man, that's good stuff. Now look what he says. He says, the one thing I do, I forget the past and I look to the future. I look to the future, Christian. Well, what does the future look like, Christian? Well, let me give you just a few ideas. What's the future for us? The Bible says God will provide for us our needs today and for eternity. That's a promise. He's going to provide for us. What's the future hold for Christians? Jesus is coming back one day. Did you know it? Jesus has come back. He tells us in the book of John, does he not? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'm coming back again. I'm going to get y'all. I'm going to get you. That's the future of Christianity. Did you know it? He's going to come back. He's going to get us. Did you know one of the futures of Christianity is we will get to participate in the awesomeness, the glory, the majesty, that's a word, isn't it? Of heaven. Of heaven. We will get to spend eternity in heaven and all the beautiful greatness of heaven. That is our future. Do you understand it? That ought to be exciting to you. The awesomeness of heaven. The resurrection of our bodies one day is our future. Did you know that? One of these days. The Bible tells us He's going to take this old body that we've got that's been buried, dead, and gone, and He's going to reunite it with our spirit. And we're going to meet Him in the heavens to be with Him forever and ever at that great rapture. And at that point, He's going to give us a body like no other. He's going to give us a body just like Jesus at the resurrection. We're going to have a body just like Him. Perfection, perfection, perfection. That is a future that we have as believers. Guys, that ought to make you excited. And one other one I've got here is the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is our future, the prize. Well, I've said it twice. I haven't told you what it is, have I? Well, I'm going to. You see, we got a great future because we have been born again. Did you know it? Great future. Third thing I would tell you about forgetting the past. Train your mind to praise the Lord. Train your mind to praise the Lord. You ever dealt with stuff in your life, and maybe that thought comes to you. You know, I really should praise the Lord, but man, this got me down. This is a bummer. Man, I'm struggling. I can promise you, from God's Word and from my personal experience, okay, that when you don't want to praise Him, but you say, I praise you, Lord, do it. I praise you, Lord. I don't want to. I've told Him many times, Father, I don't want to praise you. I don't like what's going on. I don't agree with it. But doggone it, your word tells me to praise you. So I'm going to praise you. Do I mean it? I'm not sure I even mean it. But I'm going to utter those words. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father. And when you begin to do that, incorporate that into your lifestyle, if you would. I praise you, Father. I can promise you, you're training your mind to put your eyes on Him and not on the junk that you're dealing with. You see, He wants us to have victory. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to forget the past and look forward to the future. Philippians 4:8 says it this way. I love this verse. Finally, fellow believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's a great verse. When you're struggling with life, it tells you, oh, that's just a verse. No, that's a promise from God. That is a directive from God. If you want to train your mind to praise Him, look what it says. You can when you begin to train your mind to do those kind of things, putting your eyes on Jesus. But here's a big statement that I'm fixing to make. God wants to do that for you, okay? He really does. He wants to do that for you. But you got to be willing to let Him do that for you. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to do that. He wants to transform your mind. But you got to be willing to let Him do it. And I suggest many times we don't want to let Him do it. We just soon waller in defeat, waller in our circumstances. We've got to allow Him to do that. You have to have a willingness to let Him do what He wants to do in your life. And Christians, we should not stiff arm Him when He wants to do something. But we do sometimes. We got to be willing, have a willing spirit to let Him work in your heart and in your life as you follow Him. And unless you're willing to let Him do that, none of this will apply to you. It won't apply to you. Verse 14, real quick. I press on. There it is again. I keep going. Toward the goal for the prize. There's that prize word again. Oh my. Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I keep moving on. You know, I don't think we say this enough. But it's a really good thing to be a Christian. I mean, that's just a blanket statement, but I don't know if we ever think about that. It is the highest calling that a person can have on his life. Did you know that? To be a truly born-again disciple of Jesus Christ. There's no greater calling on a person's life than that. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Because there's not. Trust me on this one, okay? There's not. Because you see, the Bible tells us He has given us every spiritual blessing that we ever need. He's got it ready, waiting on us. That's good stuff. He's chosen us from the beginning, the foundation of the world, to be on His team. That's good stuff. Not everybody gets picked for those kind of teams. This is a good team to be on. You see, He's adopted us into His family. We're part of the family that can never be kicked out. We've been adopted. We've been redeemed by His blood. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. We have an eternal inheritance, the Bible says, protected by the power of God. No one, nothing can snatch that inheritance out of the hand of God. And then we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Our down payment, which says, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit. That's your down payment. That's your ticket into your heavenly home. You see, being a Christian is a super good deal now and forever. Let me tell you what else is good to be a Christian. The God of the universe created all this stuff, loves you. And guess where He lives? He lives in your heart. He lives within inside of you. The God of the universe lives inside of you. That's good stuff. You see, we can have a relationship with Jesus, the one who died on a cross just for us. We can have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. We can have victory over sin. We don't have to feel guilty about our sin. We don't have to be pulled down by our sin. Because we are born again, Christian, we have victory over sin. We know the fact that God has a great plan for our lives. We know where we're going to spend eternity. We know that we can go to the throne room of grace 24/7, 365, and He'll hear us. And He'll answer according to His perfect will in our life. It is a privilege. It is an honor. It is like, woo-hoo, to be born again. There's no greater calling on a person's life than to be having the stamp that says, you are my son and you are my daughter. That ought to pump your chili somewhere. I'm serious. That ought to pump your chili. That's good stuff right there. And here we go. And then it says, I finally got here. But then Paul said, I press on for the prize of the upward calling. There it is. That's the third time I've said it. The prize. What is the prize? Paul's motivation for life. What is the prize that he's talking about? Well, Paul was looking forward to being with Jesus. Paul was looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, where all Christians will be. You and I will be there. Paul is looking forward to that day. Because you see, Paul lived his life, his motivation of life was that when he stood before Jesus, his Lord and his Savior, he would not be ashamed about how he lived his life. He would not be ashamed. He's not perfect, but when I stand there, Paul would say, I am not ashamed. I did everything I could do. I persevered in the faith, Jesus. I trusted you, Jesus, with all of my heart and all my life. I am not ashamed, Father. I am not ashamed. Father, I pressed on to know the value, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. I lived my life, Father. I lived my life to honor you and to glorify you. And I am not ashamed. And Paul was looking for that day that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Because you see, Paul was looking for that prize. He was looking for the prize. And what is that prize? That when he stood there unashamed before his Father, Jesus, he heard the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the prize Paul wanted. To love nothing more than his Lord and Savior say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I can't think of any other medal, any other gold medal that would even be able to touch that from our Lord and our Savior. That's Paul's motivation. He wanted that prize. Wow. So how do we take the message? How do we apply this message to us? I mean, what does it mean to us that we look at Paul's life and we see what he says and how he pressed on? Well, I've got a few questions for you. Are you pressing on in your life to receive that prize? Are you pressing on to receive that prize? Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you pressing on to do that? No matter what, are you pressing on? Are you pressing on to live a life that looks more like Christ every day? To love like Him, forgive like Him, act like Him, react like Him? Are you trying? Are you pressing on to be all that Christ has called you to be? Are you pressing on to live faithfully? No matter what? No matter the good, the bad, the ugly that comes into your life? Are you pressing on because you're keeping your eyes on Him and not on this down here? Are you really pressing on faithfully? No matter what? Trusting in His promises that He's given to us? Are you doing that? Are you forgetting the past and looking towards the future? Are you pressing on? The past is past. I got a great, bright future because I've been born again. I'm a Christian. And I've listed some of those things. I mean, those are some good questions. And I think we have to apply those in our life. Are we doing that as Christians? Pressing on to live faithfully. Pressing on to know Him. Pressing on to reach the prize. Or do we just go about our business, live in life like unbelievers who have no victory, who have no joy, and we sit and we wonder, God, where's my joy? Where's my victory? How come I'm not an overcomer, God? And it's because we're not doing what He's asked us to do. To stand on His promises. Let me urge you to press on in your faith to become all that God has called you to be. This is serious business, did you know it? I mean, Christianity is serious business because the other side of the coin is really serious for eternity. It is our job to be serious about us growing, leading, speaking about our Lord and Savior, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? I urge you, forget the past. Look forward to the future. I promise you, it could be done. As we begin our invitation time, I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I honestly believe God has spoken to somebody today. Somebody's today. Okay? And if He has spoken to you somehow, you know it. There's something inside that says, I need to do something about that. Here's your time. Here's your sign. Do business with the Lord. Be open, honest with Him. Areas in your life that you're just failing at, tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him to help you. Tell Him to give me strength. Help me to forget the past, Father, so I can look forward to the future. Help me to press on no matter what, to stay strong, to stay faithful. Father, I want to stand on Your promises. I want to trust Your promises. I want to be faithful to Your promises. I want Your word to change the way I live. Do business with the Lord, and I'll be quiet.